Drink from your fountain that flows from your mountain. Let me feast from the Father's supply. One more time. Oh Lord, feed your children as we stand here willing to eat from the table of life. Drink from your fountain that flows from your mountain. Let me feast from the Father's supply. Let us pray once again, Lord. We come with thanksgiving, Lord, in our hearts. Lord, knowing that it's all from you. Lord, the very breath that we woke up with this morning is your grace and your mercy upon us. And Lord, to have the revelation, the realization that we're sons and daughters of God. Lord, that's the greatest gift, Lord. That's the grace of God that comes by revelation, Lord, that only you can give. And we thank you and praise you for that tonight. We ask that you would speak to our hearts, lead us and guide us in the scripture, Lord, in the voice of God in this last day, Lord, that you would just have your way. Lord, may each one, Lord, that is here and that might listen in, Lord, that you would speak to their hearts, Lord, for we know that we're not worthy and there's nothing that we could say that would help them, Lord. But Lord, that one word from you would mean everything to our hearts. And we give you the thanks and praise as we commit these things to you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Be seated. We're happy to see each one tonight. It's good to see Joe with us tonight. Asenoth, we greet them, and we've been missing them, and we always miss you when you're away. And so I want to get right into the message tonight because I got a little bit of ground I'd like to cover. And brother, one of those brothers that was with Brother Branham used to say, I got a lot of hay to put in the barn. And I know what that is. We used to have a barn, Brother Goomba, that it held somewhere around 10,000 bales, the bales you handle by hand. And it was so hot. And you had to stack it in levels. You made the stacks. You backed the trailer up in there, and then one man would throw it off, and then there would be a man on that level, and he would throw it high as he could to the next level, and he'd throw it high as he could to the next level, until you were stuffing it against the ceiling, the roof. And one year you'd do it off of one side, the next year you'd come in from the other side, trying to rotate it the best you could. Some of them bales you never get to, they're in there for years and years, until you have a really bad year, and then you dig into some of that. But those were some of the hottest days in my life. It was so hot in that barn. And when we'd come out, we would just sit down in a cow trough. And that old green, you know how it gets green in there with the and dirty. But you were so hot, you didn't look at the green. You just pushed it out of the way and sat down in it, and that was it. Then when you went back in the barn, the hay just stuck to you worse than it did before. So, but those things, we thought that we thought that was good. We thought it was good. We were happy to have a job. We were happy to be working. We were happy, especially me, because I was a city boy who came to the farm. And so when I got to where I could manage it and work beside them all day long, because those early days that you find them under the trailer, you find them sitting down. And then when I was the one that was still working and the new boys were on the ground. I thought I was a hard worker then. I thought, I've accomplished something now. But none of that means anything. And none of it means anything now. There's only one thing that means anything, and that's Christ. Amen. And that's Christ. And that's what we're here for. And I don't know where those things come from, but I want to read again. We read this on Sunday morning, but I want to read it again in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 3, 4 and 5. And then I want to talk a little more on this. I'm going to go tonight into the message, Anointed Ones at the End Time. And I'll first read in the Church Ages book, just a short thing. And so I maybe by Sunday, we might read out of the rapture. But I think I'm going to take a couple more services here on this subject. So let us dig in. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. And Abel also, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. That means he brought the best that he had unto the Lord out of his flock. And Cain brought the best that he had of the fruit of the ground. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Now, I wanted to just take this word, respect, and I was surprised to find that it wasn't anything like what I thought it was. And, you know, when you go to the lexicon and when you go to the Greek, a really nice feature in the search engine is that it will tell you all of the verses in the Bible or in the message, in the Bible here, Old and New Testament, that the verse, this word is used. And so, but it's not going to be used, that word, respect. It's going to be every verse that it's used, and you're going to see the difference. But this word's only used 15 times. 15 times. And they're all in the Old Testament. It doesn't roll over. But the word respect is used more than that, but not like this. It's used, and it's not like we think of, I respect you or you respect me, like that. But let's just look at it here. So going to the Hebrew, it said it's to look at, to regard, to gaze at. Then it says it again, to gaze at, to regard, to behold, to look about. Then it says to look away, cause gaze to turn away. See, to look in dismay, gaze about. So, look, it's taking both sides of those words, right? It's to gaze at, it's to gaze away from. It's for me to regard you, it's for me not to regard you. Is that right? It's taking both sides, to gaze at and to gaze away from. And so, I tell you, there was 15 places. I'm going to take two or three of them, whatever I got here, three or four, and I want to show you the word that he's using, that's being used in as the word respect. All of these verses are the same, coming under the same definition. The first one's in Psalms 39:13. Oh, spare me that I may recover strength before I go hence and be no more. And the word is spare. It's the same word as respect. It's the same word. So he's saying, spare me. See? How, and then in Job 7:19, how long will thou not depart from me? Now the word is depart. Same as respect. The word is being used the same as it is in Genesis 4 and 5. How long will thou not depart from me, nor let me alone till I swallow down my spittle? In other words, till I'm taking my last breath and I'm dying. Exodus 5:9. Let there more work be laid upon the men, that they may labor therein, and let them not regard vain words. The word is regard. And so we read that also in the same. Now in Isaiah, this is the last one I just wanted to give you, and this one's even more different. And the eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. The heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammers shall be ready to speak plainly. Now the word, can you guess the word? Huh? It's dim. Dim. That's the same word that's being used in Genesis. And the eyes of them that see shall not be dim. And what's the opposite of dim? Be bright. Their eyes shall be bright. And so, and actually this scripture here, you could take it, it's just like Revelations. Just like Revelation. He that hath an ear, let him hear. He that has eyes, let him see. He that has a heart to understand, let him understand. And so that's how it's being used. To one is being given eyes to see. And to the other one is not being given eyes to see. To one is ears to hear. To the other one is not. God is regarding one and he's not regarding the other one. And so it seems a little bit odd, but it's exactly what it is. And so I want to go into the anointed ones at the end time. And I thought when I looked up that word respect, it was going to be totally different. And so when I seen what it was, I thought, let me just put it out there as a little by the way. And so paragraph 46. Now, the same Holy Spirit that anoints the church, that gives them the desire to save souls, that gives them power to perform miracles. Huh? This same desire that makes you want to see people saved, that makes you want to see people healed, that makes you want to see the Word of God manifest in this day, it falls on the unjust just the same as the just. Is that right? The same Holy Spirit, that's what he said, the same Holy Spirit that anoints the church, that does these things, it does the same thing to the natural church as it does to the spiritual church. To the nominal idea, to the bride. Is that right? Now, you can't make it any other way and understand Matthew 24:24. You getting it? Huh? It's the exact same Spirit. And you got to apply it like that if you're going to understand Matthew 24:24, that the rain falls on the just and the unjust, that there's false prophets promised in the last days that will be anointed with exactly the same Spirit that the true ministry has in this last day. Now you can't see the very same Spirit falls on the just and the unjust, and you can't make it any other way and understand Matthew 24:24. See, he said, there shall arise false Christ and false anointed ones, anointed with the genuine thing, but be false prophets of it. See, false teachers of it. Now, this is one of those things that was not clearly understood until this day, till the opening of the seals. This was a great message, anointed ones at the end time, that was preached in 1965. This is one of the things that Brother Branham struggled with from the very beginning. From the very beginning, as a young Christian, and he went into those meetings. He went into those Pentecostal meetings, and he seen them speaking with tongues, and interpreting, and doing these things. And that was one of the times when he said that he seen it. Said first he thought he was among angels, and then he thought he was among devils. But he made a casual statement. And you realized that gift, how accessible the gift was that he had. And when he seen it, and he said, well, I want to know. I want to understand this. So he said, with the gift, he just walked up and started talking to one of them. And as he's talking to that man, he said he was a genuine Christian by that little gift that God gave him, that was ordained in him before the foundation of the world. Before gifts and callings are without repentance. It was given to him before he was born. And it was in him from his birth. And when he was yet a little child crawling around on the ground, he began seeing visions. I think he said his first one was around 2. So he said they didn't used to wear pajamas. They just wore a gown. And he was crawling around on the ground. He said, I could remember eating snow off the boot out of some man that came in the door, his uncle or somebody. And so I think that's one of his first visions was right then. And so this is the thing. Anointed with the genuine thing, but be false prophets of it, see? False teachers of it. Did I skip some there? Let's go back to Matthew 24. See, there's no other way to understand Matthew 24. There shall arise false Christ, false anointed ones, anointed with the genuine thing, but be false prophets of it, see? False teachers of it. Now, what would make a man want to be a false teacher of something that's truth? See? What would make a man want to be that? Brother Branham said that most men, most preachers, they go for the money. Said that's what they're, it's just like you get a job working at Flowers. You get a job working at the grocery store. You get a job working at Duke Power. Where it's just a job to the carnal man. To the carnal man, it's just a way to make a living. And so Brother Branham said, that's where many of them, most of them, that's where they come for. It's just a job. And that's why they don't get to the reality. They don't get to the reality of it. See? What would make a man want to be a false teacher of something that's truth? Now, we'll get down to the mark of the beast in a few minutes, and you'll see its denomination. Now, he didn't beat around the bush on that, did he? No. He didn't beat around the bush on it. No. What is the mark of the beast? It's denominationalism. It's the Catholic Church. It's organization. Brother Branham said, God never did organize. Never did. He said he never did and he never will. He never will have an organization. See, false teachers, false anointed, anointed Christ. See, anointed Christ, but false teachers. It's the only way you can see it. And that's the revelation. That's the revelation that God gave him. And so that was the thing that when he was trying to understand, he talked to one of those men and said it was a genuine Christian. And he talked to another one and said he was living in adultery, had another woman he was running around with and had children by her. And so when he talked to the man about it, he told him, he said, well, what about this? I see this in your life. I see this. And he said the man just looked at him and walked away. Didn't say repent. Didn't say that's thus saith the Lord. Huh? When he was running around up there with his tongues and interpretation, that was all glorious. But now here comes the true gift. Here comes the true prophet. Here comes the true word of God. And shines the light. And he just walks away. That's sad, isn't it? 47. Just like here some time ago, I've quoted this. I might quote it because we're hooked up across the nation. One day I was talking to a friend of mine where this is coming in this morning in Arizona, and he had a citrus farm. Now, I mentioned some of these things on Sunday, and now I'm going to read them to you tonight. See, he had a citrus farm, and he had a tree there, which was an orange tree that was bearing grapefruits and lemons and tangerines and tangelos. I forgot how many fruits there was on that one tree. And I said to the man, I said, how is it? What kind of tree is that? And see, this was a great, this also was part of that great revelation that the prophet received in understanding how the rain falls on the just and the unjust. How that actually, how it works, how it happened. See, and I said, how is it? What kind of a tree is that? He said, the tree itself is an orange tree. And I said, why has it got grapefruits on it? Why has it got lemons on it? See? He said, they're grafted into it. And I said, I see. I said, well now. I said, now next year, when that tree comes forth with another crop of fruit, which they all ripen about the same time, I said, then it will bring forth altogether oranges again. See? Then the life's going to go down. And when life comes back up next year, every one of those branches now are going to all be oranges, right? So right now, they're just because you grafted them in there. Now, they produce that year. But next year, they're going to, all that life's going to come up and they're all going to be oranges. And he said, no. Why? Why not? See? I said it'll bring all oranges. If it's a navel tree, it'll bring forth the navel oranges, won't it, sir? He said, no, sir. Every grafted branch will bring forth of its kind. See? I said, you mean that lemon will bring forth a lemon out of an orange tree? He said, yes, sir. I said, that grapefruit will bring forth a grapefruit out of that orange tree? He said, yes, sir. That's the nature. This is what I said on Sunday. That's the nature of that branch. You can't get away from that. It's the nature of that branch. Every seed can only bring forth of its kind. And every branch can only bring forth of its kind. Whatever that nature is, that's what it's going to bring. All that the roots are doing, all the tree is doing, is supplying life to it. It's applying the nourishment to it. It's applying everything that it has need of, but every one of them bear the nature of what they are. Yes, nothing changes that. And that made Genesis that much more real when it said every seed brings forth of its kind. Right. And it shows it right here in the citrus tree. See? That's the nature of the branch that's grafted into it. I said, praise be to God. He said, what do you mean? I said, one more question. I said, will that orange tree ever bring forth oranges again? And he said, when it puts forth another branch. He said, when it puts forth another branch, not when another one's grafted into it. See, every one that's going to be grafted in there is going to bear its nature, whatever it is. But if it comes from the roots, it's going to bear navel oranges. Right. Praise God. Amen. When it puts forth another branch, not when one is grafted, see, but they're all citrus fruit. And they live off the citrus life that's in the citrus tree. Praise be to God. And this right here reminds me of some of the things he said in spoken word as the original seed, speaking of the same thing, but now he's doing it in a different way. I said, there you are, see. The Methodist will bring forth Methodist every time. The Baptist will bring forth Baptist every time. The Catholic will bring forth Catholic every time. See? But the Church of the Living God will produce Christ from the root. Amen. Praise be to God. That's right. The Word every time, and if it ever puts forth another vine of its own. And that's what's happened in this day. It's brought forth from the roots to bring forth the fruit of the age. And that's all they can do. And every branch can only bring forth of its kind. It can't bring forth nothing else. Yes, praise be to God. That means so much. Amen. And so that when that was revealed to the prophet, that they are living off the same anointing, the same spirit. It's 100% the same Spirit of God that is moving upon them. And that's what Brother Branham said in the Church Ages book. He said, they call themselves the bride. And he said, because they do, they are going to be held accountable before God, because God is putting them in that place and saying, okay, you say you're the bride. Now, your life testifies what you are. And if that life is not bringing forth the same nature as what's in the roots, then the judgment is there.
Yes, sir.
That branch, what did he say it was? He said they're bearing false witness. Mm-hmm. Is that right? They're bearing false witness of the life that's in the roots.
Yes, sir.
They're bearing fruit.
Right.
And it's good fruit. Is that right?
Yep.
It's all good fruit.
Yep.
But it's a false witness of the tree.
Yes.
And that's the difference. And this tree is Christ.
Amen.
And you're the branches.
Right.
And you've got to be bearing the fruit of the life of the roots.
Right.
You can't be bringing any other life. You can't be bringing any other fruits. It's got to be the life from the roots.
Amen.
Now you can graft it in there, you see. Every grapefruit, lemon, tangelo, tangerine, whatever the citrus fruits are, every one of them can live in that tree. Baptist, Methodist, even so-called message, whatever you want to call yourself. You can call yourself Branham this and Branham that. Doesn't mean anything. It's got to be the life of Christ. That's the only thing. That's the life that's in the roots. You can have any kind of name that you want. And it can be as long as you want it to be. You ever see, go by one of these churches, and they got a sign up there, and the name is a paragraph long, the Church of the Living God, of the Firstborn, of the Anointed, of the, and it just goes on and on and on. They try to get all of it in the name. And it means nothing. I mean, it doesn't mean anything if the life is not there. See, but bearing, let's get this now. Every one of them can live in that tree, but bearing false witness of the tree, but living by the tree. You see it? They are living and thriving on the genuine life that's in the tree. When they're jumping and shouting, when they're praising God, when they're having healings, and they're testifying of all the great things of God, absolutely, it's the same Holy Ghost. Brother Branham said it's the same Holy Ghost. It's the same Spirit of God. But it's bearing false witness. Because it's not producing Christ. This day, how did Luther get by baptizing in a Trinitarian doctrine? Because it wasn't revealed. Because it wasn't revealed. The same thing, brother. One of these brothers said the other day about Jesus saying, I think it was Brother Goomba said, that Jesus told him, said they weren't in sin until he revealed who he was, and they rejected the word of the age. They were in the word of another day. They were living in the word of Moses' day. They were living in the revelation of another day. And that was good until Christ walked up and was standing before them. And when Christ walked up and was standing before them, that was done.
Yes, sir.
Now, that was sin now, to go back there and try to identify with the word of another day. Because now the anointed word of the age was standing before them. And that was the only life. That was the only life. That my wife and I was talking about that today. Brother Goomba really hit that while I was in Canada. Really, and we enjoyed it while we were there, and really nailed it down. Nailed it down. It will not work.
Right.
No word of no other age will work today.
Right.
This is the age of the fullness. This is the fullness. So, Brother Branham said, we must understand. We must understand today. I was talking to a young man, I guess Sunday. Sunday was an unusual day for me. But I went to the store to get something up here to Food Lion. And I parked beside somebody, and I was sitting there in the car, was fixing to get out, and they come around the corner, and it was Caleb Rudisell, a young man that used to work for me and hadn't seen in a long time. So I talked to him a few minutes. And then I was walking in the store, and my son was coming out of the store. So I talked to him a few minutes. And so I went and got what they didn't have what I needed. So I was going to have to go to Lincoln. I'm come back, and I'm headed to my car. And Brother Goomba's pulled in, right, almost beside my car. And so then I talked to him. Of course, that was a lot of minutes. That don't happen in a couple of minutes. So we had a really good fellowship there. So we talked a long time and had some good fellowship. And so then I took off to Lincolnton, and I was trying to send some money to Africa. And so while I was doing that, somehow or another, I accidentally called a brother, Caleb Williams, another Caleb. So I accidentally called him, I don't know how, and when I walked out of the store and was getting in my car, he was getting out of his truck. Now, I didn't even know I called him at this point in time. And so it was still daylight when we started talking, and we talked after dark. And so that was the strangest thing for me. You know, a lot of times I don't see anybody on Sunday. I go home and take a nap and just chill, rest, whatever. And there I had fellowship with so many people, enjoyed so much. All of that to say this, I was talking to Caleb, and he said, you know the problem with the young people today? He said, they don't study the message. And I said, that's the truth, brother. They don't study the message. They're just caught up in what somebody is saying or what they hear somebody saying. And I told you before about the young man I talked to one time, been in the message, I don't know, all his life as far as I know. And I asked him about the seven thunders. He said, I never heard of them. I said, you never heard of the seven thunders? And he said, no. I said, they're in the Bible. And I said, they're all over the message. He said, I don't know anything about it. And so that's exactly what the brother was saying. And he said that a lot of the youth, they're misunderstanding the new birth. So they're not getting to the new birth. They're taking something else in the place of it. And Brother Branham said, that's what people are doing. That's exactly what Brother Branham said. He said, they take a substitute for the new birth. The new birth is going to change your life. And he said, that's what they don't want. The new birth is going to fulfill his own desire.
Right.
So when Christ gets a hold of you, you're no longer in control. And that's the hardest thing for man. That's the hardest thing for a man or a woman to do, is completely let go.
Yes.
But when you let go, Christ comes in. And when Christ comes in, you're not in control. Brother Branham said, you can't do what you want to do. And another thing Brother Branham said, I was reading the other day that letter that Brother Branham had, they found in his stuff after he passed away. He said, God will not let you do what other Christians are doing. He's calling them Christians. He said, but he won't let you do, because he's got you doing what he wants you to do. Whatever they do, that's between them and God. God might want them to do that. But what he wants you to do is be obedient, to be in him, to be one with him.
Yes, that's right.
See, but what every one of them living in the tree, but bearing false witness of the tree, but living by the tree. Do you see it? They are living and thriving on the genuine life that's in that tree. Praise be to God. Now, he's talking about Matthew 24, so I want to read Matthew 24. And we're going to start at verse 23 here. And then if any man say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. That's right. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he's in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he's in the secret chamber, believe it not. See? For as the lightning, listen to this. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And then verse 28, and I love this verse. For wheresoever the carcass is, where the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. That's right. The eagle is going to go to eagle food. That's right. Brother Goomba and I talked about this a number of times. When I first started going to Kenya, people were going to go to the closest church, because it was going to cost money. And the people didn't have money. They didn't have money. And so they were going to, and then for the most part, they didn't see much difference in one church or another church. Didn't matter. As long as they say they believe the message, then that's it. And it was the same here for many years. People, Oh, they're preaching the message. So they're all message churches, so they're all the same, and they're not the same. And they're not all preaching the same thing. And they don't all believe that this was the voice of God speaking in the last days. And I can remember when I made my stand and I told a brother, and Gumba was there, and he said he didn't know nothing. I never told him. No, I didn't say a word to him until it was done. But I took my family and I took Gumba and I went to the preacher's house and I told him, I said, my family's going to be going to this church, which is going to be about an hour or 2 hours away, hour and a half. I said, because this man's preaching this message. And much respect for the brother. I love that brother. And he's preaching as much as he knows. He's a good brother, respected brother. And I love him. And we still fellowship. But at that time, God led me to send my family there. And I told Brother Gumba, and I told him, I said, brother, you might be the only one. You might be the only one who's standing 100%. I said, because there's churches. It just is like America. There's message churches on every corner. They're on every corner now, everywhere. And everybody has a different idea. Somewhere is the carcass.
Yes, sir.
And wherever the carcass is, there's where the eagles are going to gather together.
That's right.
They have to have the pure word.
Amen.
That's what the eagles do. They can't help it. It's built into them.
That's right.
God calls them out. Brother Adam talked about that eagle flying over the barnyard and seeing that little eagle down there. When that mother screamed, that eaglet had never heard that voice before.
Right.
Never. Nothing like that. Had no idea.
Right.
And that voice scared every chicken in that yard to death. But it didn't scare that little eagle.
Amen.
In that little eagle, there was something quickened at that moment in its heart.
Yes.
That's exactly what happens to you.
That's right.
When you hear the true word of God, it quickens something that you don't want to go away from. You want to go to it.
Yes, sir.
And you're looking for the way to get to it.
That's right.
Your life turns around. Your life changes. The seed has been quickened. That's what happened to that man. And he said he couldn't figure it out. And he was going here and going there. And finally the prophet told him, said, brother, you had it all the time.
Yes,
when that seed was quickened, it began looking for God.
That's right.
That was God that was drawing him. That was God that making him want him. That was God that was making him want to do whatever he had to do.
That's right.
And he found out that all them things that those people told him was going to make him one with God, none of it was it. No. It's that seed being quickened by the Spirit of God. The Word of God speaking. My words are spirit and they are life.
That's right.
Matthew 24. See? Bearing false witness of that tree. It's an orange tree. Yet any citrus, and they say this church, this denomination is bearing record of Christ and got a false baptism, false witness of the word, trying to say that the power of God was only for the disciples. Huh? There's only one baptism. That's right. That's 1 Corinthians 12. Yeah. It's the new birth. It's being born by the Spirit of God. People think that they go get baptized in the water and they're born again. The prophet said, the Bible said, have you been born since you believed?
Right.
Huh?
Right.
The Baptist said, when you believe. The scripture said, since you believed. It takes a new birth.
Right.
It takes a new birth. See, Jesus himself said, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every branch. Huh? Every branch that the tree will ever bring forth. Huh? Is that right? Everything God ever puts on this earth, preach to every tree, every creature, everything that's out there. That's right. Every branch that'll be in the tree, that ever be here. And these signs shall follow the genuine branches. Huh? And the false ones will impersonate. They're going to bear false witness. Where? As long as a tree, as long as it's putting forth branches to the end of the world. See? And in my name, they'll cast out devils. And they'll speak with new tongues. And they'll take up serpents. And they'll drink deadly things and lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And what's the greatest one? What's the greatest one? Is when they speak eternal life. When they speak eternal life and a seed, and they speak it in the presence of an ungermatized seed of God, it will quicken that seed.
Yes, sir.
That's right. Can the children of God speak eternal life? This word is eternal life.
That's right.
And when they speak this word, it will quicken the seed of God.
Amen.
That's what we're here for. That's what God put us here for. Sometimes we're just struggling and straining, and everything is chaos and trouble. And Brother Brown said, when it rains, it pours. When it goes wrong, it all goes wrong. But God is fulfilling His word in your life every single day. We measure it by big things. If some big thing happens, then we feel justified, or we feel this, or we feel that. It's not about our feelings. It's about every day getting up and going forth with the Word of God in our hearts,
yes,
believing and letting God do and say whatever He wants to do. Remember, Verse 50. Remember, this is at the end time. Not back under Wesley, back there. Now, at the end time, this was to take place. Now, watch the scriptures. Let them testify. Huh? God testifying of His gifts. Is that what He said about Abel?
Yes, sir.
God testifying. See? And Jesus said, search the scriptures, for in them you think, or you believe, that you have eternal life. See, they are the ones that do what?
Testify.
The scripture is testifying. And what are you? You're the Word. Huh? Your life is Christ testifying. Every day testifying.
Amen.
What's the biggest thing? Not because you did something big today, but because you're the same every day. The same Christian, the same life, the same holiness, the same every day. It's just the same.
Right.
That's the thing. That's the thing that bothers the devil. Yeah, he just don't like it. See? They're the ones that testify of me. In other words, if this tree ever brings forth a branch from the roots,
right,
it's going to testify. Every branch is going to testify exactly what it is. See? Now, I put these scriptures back in there. Because he's talking about it. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. See? God testifying of His gifts, and by it he being yet dead. See? Now watch, for Enoch. See, God was testifying that gift that he had, that revelation that God gave him, was testifying that he was righteous.
Yes, sir.
That God regarded him. That God was accepting him. Right? That's what the word respect means. Huh? God was accepting him because God gave him a revelation. And God counted it for righteousness.
Amen.
Talk about grace. Because God, listen, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. Huh? Who did it? Did Enoch, he got a power and Enoch said, I'm just going to go. No, God translated him. Huh? Did Abel just say, I've prayed about this, I've figured it out, I'm sure that it's the blood. No, it was a revelation.
Yes, sir.
God told Abel what to do. God revealed to Abel what to do.
Amen.
See? Because God had translated him, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God.
Right.
He had this testimony. Did Enoch go around saying, I please God, I please God, I please God. I'm going to rapture because I please God. No. The testimony was God. God was testifying that his life, that Enoch's life was testifying that it was pleasing to God. And God took him home. We're just talking about this today too. Brother Goomba has preached that all shall die. Right? And he's preached it and preached it. And it seemed like that everybody was good. Now it's kind of coming back around. And they're having problems with that idea. And it's not just an idea. It's the word. It's the word. And I said before, I haven't said much about it, but I have commented a couple times here and there. And Enoch, what did he just say about Enoch? What did he say? That he should not see death. And the scripture says, some shall not taste death, right? So they're not going to see death. They're not going to taste death, right? But then says that all are going to die, right? So let me just ask you a question, because this is what made it so easy for me. Okay. So when you're looking at this scripture and this quote and that quote, and Brother Goomba put it all together, there should be no question. But there is. And there's a reason. And he's telling us why. But if Enoch, before translation, let's read it again, that he should not see death. What did he see? He's seen life. He's seen life. And he's walking to life.
Right.
Huh? He's walking into another dimension.
Right.
He's not seeing death. He's not laying on his deathbed. He's not has that rattle in his throat where he's dying.
Nope.
Huh? No, he's not experienced death. But let me ask you something. Did his body die?
Yes, sir.
Absolutely, it died. Flesh and blood cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven.
That's right.
It must die. Nothing's getting in there but the seed of God.
That's right.
And God has a body for the seed.
Yes, sir.
Is that it, to me, that's just the simplicity of it.
Yes,
you,
right.
you, Brother Goomba taught it and he brought it, he covered all the bases. And I don't know, so to me, they should just see it. But the simplicity for me is flesh and blood can't get in.
Right.
So, did Enoch go in to eternal life and then his body stayed down here and just kept walking around? I don't think so. No, he was gone. Well, where did it go? The Bible already said, Jesus told us when he got here, no flesh and blood's getting in there. Not in that dimension. No. There's only one. It has to die. It has to die. It was born in sin, shaped in iniquity, came into the world speaking lies.
That's right.
It has to die. But before it does, God was determined that there was going to be a people on the face of the earth that was going to stand redeemed. They were going to stand redeemed in this body that came by sin and death.
That's right.
And he was going to redeem this body here. And then to show the devil that the power of God and the life of God is stronger and more powerful than the spirit of Satan,
yes,
upon this dying flesh.
Yes,
that God was going to redeem this fleshly body before it died and put eternal life in it and prove to Satan that there would be a people that would live the word of God by the power of God, by the spirit of God that was in them. That quickening power would be in them. And their bodies would come in subjection to the word of God. That's what God wanted to accomplish. And that's what I told the brothers when they told me they were in their theophany. I said, no, brother, you're depriving God of fulfilling what he had planned to do.
That's right.
God had this planned out. He was going to prove to Satan before we got into that body that he was going to put his life in this body. And show Satan.
That's right.
That there would be a bride without spot or wrinkle.
Amen.
Why? Because it would be his righteousness.
That's right.
That's exactly. And God was expressing it in Abel. Huh?
Yes.
God told, said he's righteous. Why? Because God revealed it to him? Huh? Because God had regard to him? He didn't do anything. God did it. We're not doing anything. God's doing it. It's God doing it. Praise be to God. For before his translation, he had this testimony. He had a testimony, see? That he pleased God. Praise be to God. I'm the vine, I'm the tree, and ye are the branches. He that believeth in me, the works that I do, shall he do also. St. John 14:12. That's right. Now, he that abideth in me, him that was in my roots. Praise God. You were in your great, 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 great grandfather, huh? You were in God before the foundation of the world.
That's right.
Don't matter when any of the natural part of it was produced or anything else. The only thing that matters is that you were in him. You were in him. See? Him that was in my root at the beginning. Praise be to God. Now, the reason Jesus was both root, see, that's the reason Jesus was both root and offspring of David. He was before David, in David, after David, both root and offspring, the morning star, the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the Alpha and the Omega, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. In him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily, both root and offspring. Praise be to God. You could talk about that a long time. He, that is the elected life, the predestined life. That's in me. See? He is the Word from the beginning. From the beginning, you're the Word. From the beginning, you are a part of Him. See? When He comes forth, He'll bear my fruit. John 14:12. But the others live by the same thing, calling themselves Christians and believers. Not all that saith, Lord, Lord, will enter in. No. No, no, it won't. No. But they will be anointed by the same Spirit. They'll be anointed by the same Spirit. They'll do the same gifts. They can do the same supernatural things. Now, and this is to take place and be manifested in the last days, when the mysteries of God should be finished. Now, you know, he's quoting Revelations 10:7. He worded it perfectly. He's identifying that it's promised in the last days that the mysteries of God would be finished according to the seventh angel's message. Is that right? Yes, as we'll get to later. Now, 52, these trees, the true vine and the false vine, see? You've heard me preach on that since from years ago, how that they growed up together. And brought them in individuals and showed that from Cain and Abel, the two vines. See, that they met at the altar, both of them religious. Both of them anointed. Both of them desiring life and worshiping the same God. And one was rejected and the other one received. That's right. See, and that desire, they're both anointed with the same Spirit. Brother Bram said they're both anointed to save souls. To manifest the power of God, to heal the sick, to speak all of these different things, to manifest the gifts of God. They're both anointed by the same Spirit to do the same thing. That's why wherever you go, there's something in man to worship something. And if the Word hasn't come to them yet to know the true and living God or to know about Christ, then they'll take a tree and carve it up and worship that tree. They'll take a stone and do something and worship that stone. They'll make an idol. They'll do something. Their man is going to worship something. And in this day, man has done so much in the technological and the different ways. Now they can build the most, they can spend $1 million on a car. And they can worship it. There's one man, one great Hollywood star. I don't remember his name. I think he was a comedian, but he had maybe hundreds of real classic collectors, beautiful cars of all kinds. They worship that stuff. Oh, they don't get down and say, oh, I worship you. No, not like that. It's their idol. It's what all their time is in. It's all their admiration, all of their love, their desire. They spend all their time and their money in those things. That's what it is. It's their idol. And people can make it out of anything. Anything that you put in front of God, that's your idol. That's what you're worshiping. Anything in front of God, that's it. There's only one, and the only one that the one that was received could have done anything different from his brother, it was revealed to him. How about that? Here is Abel is pronounced righteous. And the only way he could have done anything different than his brother is by revelation. Right. Is that right? The only way that you can do anything different today is by spiritual revelation of the word of this day.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's why we need to thank God every day for revelation.
Yes,
we need to thank God for everything that He's given us in this message, in this voice, by spiritual revelation.
Right.
We are the most blessed people that's ever lived on the face of the earth. That's why I said on Sunday, if you had the privilege, if God granted you the privilege to live and be raised in this message,
yes, sir,
and bypass the world and the things of the world and all the sin and the desires and all of the temptations and all that, and you got to bypass that, you are the most blessed people on the face of the earth. Ask people who had to live through all of that. It's the constant, like the woman told her husband. This woman waited late. She was a real Christian believer, a real virtuous woman. And she married this man, had been a sinner all his life. And they got married and they loved each other and said one day she prayed for him every day while he went to work and said, she told him one day, she said, I know it must be really rough for you to go out every day after you lived in sin. She said, I bypassed all of that. She said, I've been a Christian since I was a little girl. She said, but you went through all of that. You drank in crowds and you did all of those things. She said, I just want you to know, if you ever fall, don't stay out there. Don't stay out there. Say, you come home. And you're going to find the same wife that you married waiting here. And I'm going to pray with you until you get back to God.
Amen.
Go imagine that life in her was testifying.
Yes, sir.
It was testifying of the grace of God.
Amen.
And she couldn't help but express her love for her husband.
Right.
And he went to work. And what did he do? He testified. And he said, he was telling what she said. He said, how could I do anything? How could I do anything for that kind of love and that kind of the respect? And for somebody would say that and do that for me. Oh, God did it for every one of us. He did it for every one of us. He came to us when we weren't worthy, when we knew nothing, when we were in sin. And we were all in sin. Some of you were blessed to bypass so much of it.
Right.
Don't think you missed something. That's the devil lying to you.
Yes, sir.
That's right. Don't let Satan make you think that for 1 minute. Don't go there.
That's right.
That's what they tell people with drugs and cigarettes and alcohol. Now I'm talking about unbelief. But you take those things. Just take those things. If Satan can get you to get on those cigarettes, and then you get, there's something in there to make you want another one, and another one, and another one. They got drugs now that you don't have to take them but one time. And some of them dealers, they put something in there to, in something that maybe you're not even taking the drug. Maybe you're just taking a piece of cake or something, but they want to make you dependent. It only takes one time, and you are desiring that. You can be addicted to that. Can you imagine that it's so powerful today, that one time? You don't want to get around those people.
That's right.
Brother Branham would say, when somebody's one word off, that's your enemy.
That's right. Yes, sir. Amen.
Do we love everybody? Yes, we love everybody. Do we go home with everybody? Do we sleep with everybody? No, we do not.
Amen.
Are we different? Yes, we are.
Amen.
Balaam told him, we're all the same.
Nope.
Let us marry together. Yeah. Brother Branham said, God never did forgive that sin.
That's right.
He said, we are not the same.
That's right.
We are a separated people, separated to God.
Amen.
And if we're not willing to walk alone with God, then the devil, we have opened the door for Satan to come and guide us out.
Yes, sir.
The only way that Abel could do different is because it was revealed. Cain had no choice. Cain could not do it. And even after God said, just do what he did, he couldn't do it. Why? The nature. He had a different nature. He didn't have the birthright. He didn't have that love of God. He didn't have that desire. No, he just wanted to be a nominal. He just wanted to say, I believe the man. I believe the prophet. That was good enough. That's good enough for millions of people. It's good enough. It's not good enough for the bride. Where the carcass is, there will the eagles gather together.
Right.
Who is the carcass? He is the carcass. He is the eagle food. That's right. For the Bible said by faith, Hebrews 11th chapter, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain, which God testified that he was righteous. Jesus said the spiritual revelation of who he was. Who does man say that I am? Huh? And he said, Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Huh? That was a revelation. That was a revelation. And you can't have that revelation unless God gives it to you. That's right. That's the scripture. Blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonas. Flesh and blood never revealed this to you. My Father, which is in heaven, has revealed it. And upon this rock, I'll build my church. So if you get a revelation, it came from God. It came from heaven. It is spiritually revealed to you. So if you can see this message, if you can recognize the voice of God, then that came from God. No man did it. See? The true revelation of the word. Upon this rock I'll build my church. What? The true revelation of the word. There is the true vine again. See? Abel by faith. You say it wasn't revelation? What is faith? Faith is something that's revealed to you that is not yet, but you believe it will be. Faith is a revelation of the will of God. So by revelation, see, it is a revelation of God himself. It is a revelation of Jesus Christ himself. That's what it is. That's what the whole Bible is. That's what the whole message is. It's revealing God. He's the Word.
Amen.
That's right. He's the Word. And he's revealing himself in his bride. And they have the nature of God. And they can't be anything else but him. Their life testifies to it.
Amen.
And the churches today, I'm closing now, so just bear with me a couple minutes. And the churches today don't even believe in spiritual revelation. They believe in a dogmatic teaching of some system. By revelation, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than that of Cain, which God testified he was righteous. Amen. I hope you see that. See? See where we're living? See the hour? Hey, I was talking to a gentleman not long ago, a Christian scholar and gentleman, and he said, Mr. Branham, we refuse all revelations. I said, then you have to refuse Jesus Christ. For he is the revelation of God. God revealed in human flesh. And unless you see it, you're lost. Huh? Unless you see it, you're lost. So unless they see this message today, they're lost. Because it is revealing Christ. Jesus said, except you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. What was he? He was the word of the age. He was the manifestation of the prophecy.
Yes, sir.
Of the prophecy of the prophets. That's another thing Brother Goomba has been talking about. And I don't want to get off on it. But talking about the Old and the New Testament. It's Moses and Elijah.
Right.
And so what's it doing? It's not just speaking of what Moses said and what Elijah said. It's speaking of all of the Bible and what every prophet said. And every one of them was testifying of the word of an age. One of them would come on the scene and he would reveal something for that day. And then he would speak something for another day. Another prophet would come on the scene. He'd reveal something for that day. He'd reveal what that prophet said. Said what he said. Now that's what's happening right now. He'd speak something that's going to be in another day. It might be in 5 years. It might be in 500 years. It might be in 1,000 years. Only God knew. And all the time, it was God revealing himself and revealing himself and revealing himself.
Amen.
Praise be to God. You got to believe him in the day. You got to believe him in the hour.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You got to believe him today. That's where you must find him. If you go find him somewhere back there, that's not going to help you today. That's all good. That was him. But that's not where he's at.
That's right.
You're looking at where he was. You must find him. And he's here today. He's manifested today.
Right.
He is the carcass today.
Yes,
and the bride is feeding upon the unfailing word of the body word of the Son of Man.
Amen.
That's where the bride is eating. Except you believe I'm he, you will die in your sins. A revelation. See? No wonder. They couldn't see him. No man can come to me except my Father draws him. And all the Father has given me in the roots will come to me. See, you get it? And how we should love him, adore him, praise him, see? See, the fruit of the Spirit in the last days. The bride tree ripening in the top of the time. That's right. The true vine, the false vine, both had the same anointing. The water fell on both of them. No wonder he warned us. It would deceive the very elected if it was possible. See, they look the same. They're anointed the same, but by their fruit. This is where I wanted to get to. See, what do you do? How do you know it isn't an orange? Because it's bearing grapefruit. Huh? The vine is all right. See, it's living in the tree, but it's bearing a grapefruit. It isn't like the first one. See, it isn't like what's in the roots. And the church, if the church says they believe Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, and deny his power, deny his works, see, deny his word, the church that believes in Jesus Christ will do the works of Jesus Christ. It'll have the life of Jesus Christ. And if it isn't, no matter if the life is pouring into it, if it isn't predestinated from the roots, it'll bear grapefruit every time or something different. If it's the predestinated life in the roots, it'll bear Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. If it's the word coming up from the root, see, which he is the root, the beginning of time. Notice, this is it. I'm just a paragraph or two more. This is almost there. See, it's what they produce that tells the difference. By their fruit, Jesus said, you shall know them. See? Man doesn't gather grapes off of a thistle, even though the thistle might be right in the grapevine. That could be possible, but the fruit will tell it. What is the fruit? The word for the fruit for the season. That's what it is. It's their teaching. The teaching of what? The teaching of the season. What time is it? Man's doctrine, denominational doctrine, or God's word for the season.
Right.
Praise be to God.
Amen.
See, 60. You might see that anointing gets on the unjust, the false teachers, and causes them to do exactly what God told them not to do. But they'll do it anyhow. Why? They cannot help it. Cain could not help it. Balaam could not help it. Cain could not help it. They can't help it. They're anointed to do what they do. See, no matter how good the rain is sprinkled on it, it's got to be a thistle. See, that's the reason Jesus said they'll be so close that it would deceive the very elected if it was possible. That's right. 61, God is not an author of organization. The devil is. And I'll just stop right there. Now, you can read the rest of this whenever you want. But what is it? It's by their fruit. And what is your fruit? It's the teaching for the age. It's the carcass. It's the word of the age being made manifest.
That's right.
In Abel's day, it was revealed. That's right. It was his teaching. He taught it was the blood. What was the matter with Cain? Cain was teaching contrary to the true revealed word of the day.
Right.
Yeah. And then there it was all the way through. And here we are at the end. And it's the same here as it was there. It's their teaching. God comes on the scene and God reveals the word of the age. Amen. Brother Goomba, if you'll come. And God bless you so much. God bless you. God bless you.
If you like, you should have another one. You have another sound, brother. He's ready. Yeah, I mean, he can go on. That's good. That's very good. That's very good. That is very, very, very good. Yeah. I remember he said something, and I remember something like, Luther. Luther was brought. It's very, very interesting. It's very important for you to stay in the message of the hour. So the devil did not bring the word that was in the past to Luther. He brought a word that was after. I mean, it was to come. Mm-hmm. And he told him, he came with a crown.
Right.
He came like, he's an angel, he's a devil. He came with a crown.
Yes.
And he had a crown. And,
crown.
And Luther looked at him and said, and he said, worship me, I'm Christ. I'm the King of Kings, I'm the King of Kings, I'm crowned. And Luther looked at him and said, I know that to happen, but that is not for this age.
That's right.
It's an age to come. We have not come to that. The bride has not come. The seventh age has not yet come. We have not come to the bride age yet. Luther, I know it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
That's right, brother. And he said, I'm not going to worship you. You're not Jesus. You are not come there. Exactly. It's very, very important to have something that is called thinking's man filter. And the only thing that can make you have is called a thinking man's filter. And the only thing that can give you that is the message of this hour.
Right.
Anything else except this message of the hour, you see a lot of things. You see a lot of messages. Message believers everywhere. And I'm not telling you, Brother Ron came very well. Are you going to be friends with them? Yes. Are you going to love them? You're going to love them. Anything. Don't misbehave. A Christian, don't misbehave. A believer, don't misbehave.
Amen.
Love them like that. But you have a thinksman's filter. They say something like Luther. That's not creaking. That is not the message for this hour. You're seeing the message. You're seeing what the prophet said. That's okay. You're seeing what the Bible said. But that is not the message of this hour.
Right.
Something will tell you it's not. It's not. I'm not hating you. Is it true? It's true.
Amen.
You know, there's a brother from Radi. And he came. And he preached a very good sermon. It's a good sermon. And Brother Don told me, you know, the problem is there's nothing you can say bad about against it. Brother Don told me after he preached, he said, there's nothing wrong you can say about it. That's true. Yeah, nothing wrong. Because he's telling you, be careful. Be coming to church. Be a good boy. Be a good guy. What is wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that. But is it the message of the hour? It's not. That's not the message of the hour. You're seeing good things. Those good things are okay. But is it the message? That's a question to ask yourself.
Yes.
Praise God. And you are called for only one and one thing.
Amen.
The message of this age.
Amen.
All these other things you line up when you come to the message of the age. That's the most important thing. And there's a quote that Brother Don read here, and I felt like, you know, I was feeling like I want to jump up. Jumping up. It was coming. It was hitting me. I felt like I'm in the rain, brother. I can't jump up. And it was really anointed. And it's word for word. It's when you're given this and you're given this and you're given. Yeah. And you're just swearing, 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 swearing. And it was so good. There's a quote that he read here. This puts you to where it is. It points you exactly. This is it. And of course, down there he said, it's a word for this age. It's not a word for any other age. But this one also put it very well, brother. Paragraph 51, but just above there, paragraph 52 of the Anointed Ones. He said like this. But he's talking about that which can deceive is even impossible. That can deceive the very elect, if it's possible. In Islam. But others will live by the same thing, calling themselves Christians. Not Christians. Take that word out, Christians. Put there, message believers. They don't want to do that. Put that to the word message believers. There will be other message believers. Other message churches where the carcass is. The carcass now is not the message for any other day. It's not the message, brother, brother, preach. No, it's not that. It's a particular message. It's a message for this hour. Brothers, if there's anything that we need to be careful about is that, the message for this hour. There are a lot of people, a lot of messages, a lot of good friends, a lot of people that we love. They're in the message. That's good. They preach, Brother Branham. That's good.
Yes.
But there's a message that came just down there now. And this is to take place. When these deceivers, that will deceive you if it was possible, they will come this time. God tells you exactly when it will come. That's why that hit me, brother. Of course, everything hit me. But this was, it's positioning it where it belongs. It says like this, Brother Michael. Now, and this is to take place. That deception will take place. And this will take place, and be manifested. You see it in the last days, when the mysteries of God should be finished. When the seals are revealed. Where do we go after the seals are revealed? The bridal age. After the seals are revealed, we go to where?
Yes.
So it is in the bright age that there will come deceiver that would deceive the very next. That is when it will come. You look at that. If you have an influence filter, you see it. It will never touch. They'll talk. I told you about testimony. We're going home. Don't worry, my dear. She looks a bit tired. We went with bride somewhere. I'm not going to say it. It's, and we sat there. That brother was from Africa. That's why they invited me to go listen to him. And preaching. I can't get anywhere like him. Oh, he's a great, great preacher. This is what he was preaching. I was saying like this. But you are the wise virgin. You are the wise virgin. And this is the foolish virgin. And we are all waiting for him to come down. Put oils in your lamp. Three in your lamps. Make sure that you have a lamp. Make sure that you have this lamp. Make sure that you're a good boy. Make sure that you understand the word. Make sure that you live right. Is that wrong? Is that wrong preaching? There's nothing wrong with that. But we are not waiting for Jesus Christ. We are not.
Right.
Right. And when we got outside, the brother told me, are we still waiting for him? Do you have a thinking for spirit? I will tell you, no, it's not. This is good. Is it the Bible? Did the prophet talk about it? Did he hear the quote? He had the quote, brother. You can't deny that. He had the quote.
Yeah.
But where are we at?
Amen.
It will deceive the very elect if it was possible, brother. Do you have something here? Whenever it says something and it doesn't connect, something says it doesn't connect. Like that, brother, you brought it very well. And you brought everything. The good thing is about Brother Don, he can preach from Genesis to Revelation in 20 minutes. He talked about that ego. That ego, that didn't know nothing. I've never looked at it like that, Brother Don. Right? It's not. I didn't think about that, Brother Michael. You have never heard that voice. Nothing. That ego had never heard that voice. Period.
Right.
But when he heard it, there was a thinking man's filter. And if you're that's where I'm not gonna run away. I like it.
Yes.
And hence, in his imagination. And he was saying, we're gonna be eaten, we're gonna be killed. Hide. Go and he said, no. I feel you, it makes you good. And they all ran away. I want to go. I'm hearing that.
Yes.
I think he wants you something in you. He don't want it. He don't want it. Anything else? I don't want it. I don't know why. I cannot even explain, but I don't know why. But it is not clicking. It's not touching it. It's not touching. I want that. You can all run away. You can say hallelujah. And your heart can be happy. But there's only one thing that will make this seem happy. And that's the message of the hour. Let's pray. Let's pray. Christ Jesus. The way you talk to us, Lord God, is marvelous, Lord. And we are that ego. We are that ego, Lord. When you speak, Father, it touches, Lord. It touches, Lord, and we love it. Other people may say, maybe they don't understand or anything. But that's our food, Father. That's our food, Father. That's where we want to gather. That's where we desire to stay. That is where we desire to live. We want to live that, Lord, this message of help, Father. Help us. We are in your hearts, Father. Help the people. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Can you sing that just that stanza, that one stanza of that song? I surrender.
Yes.
Can you sing that? Just one stanza and chorus.
Yeah.
Can you do that? Maybe can we sing the first one and the last one? Mm-hmm. Senior? Okay, let's do that.
I surrender all to Him. Jesus.